to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 1st, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
It is good to be back from vacation, kind of. It's always good to be on vacation. The first part of our vacation a week and a half ago was, as I think I told many of you, to go down to Virginia, to the Shenandoah Valley, in order to introduce my family, at least my wife and younger daughter, to my newly discovered family, my birth mother and birth sisters, and an increasing and maybe infinite number of aunts, uncles, cousins, and other kin. I am really wrestling with this idea of having Southern roots. I've lived in various parts of the country, in the West, in the Northeast, now the Midwest, but the South is new country to me. We went on the way down to Gettysburg to visit with my one half-sister who lives just outside Harrisburg, and she and her husband took us, and I've been to Gettysburg a number of times, and I find it an immensely powerful place to visit. Holy ground, one of the most important battles of a significant conflict in our nation. It's haunted, but not in a spooky way. It's haunted with the sense of reverent awe, I think, of that battlefield. Anyway, I went there many times, but this time I was shown the place, as far as we can tell, where one of my ancestors was part of a charge on the Confederate side, the 10th Virginia, coming up the hill. 75% of his regiment were killed, but he was on the fringe, protected a little bit, and survived that and several other battles. I have to say, it gave me a new appreciation for that place to feel a family connection to it. I don't know if you've had that experience. If you read your own family history, I know Walter's talked to me about this, you get connected in a way to history through your own ancestors, and it brings it to life in a way. So I was been thinking the last couple of weeks a lot about family and about connectedness and the way that we are united to each other, even across some of these difficult lines. As you know, in the Civil War, families were divided in many cases by the conflict. And then after the Civil War, a long period of reconciliation had to go on, and in some ways maybe has never fully taken place. Because we know, don't we, that as a society, we're dangerously divided right now. We are, the rhetoric gets more and more intense all the time. The bonds that hold us together, at least to me, seem to be fraying. There's a lot more of the kind of name-calling and just meanness in our public life today, more than I can remember. I know it's happened in different periods of our history, but it feels different right now to me, and dangerous and very unsettling and uncomfortable. So when I read the scriptures today, I was reading them through the lens of this idea of connectedness. I love the epistle today. I don't know if you caught it, because Paul is being unusually subtle in his approach here, but this is the first stewardship letter that we have in the Bible. This is St. Paul, who, remember, is evangelizing the Gentiles. These are people who were not allowed to become Christians, at least in Jerusalem, because they were not circumcised. They were outside the bonds of the family, outcasts, aliens, not part of the community. And Paul says that's ridiculous. All we need is faith in Jesus Christ and baptism to be part of the family. So he's been evangelizing like crazy out in the Gentile world. Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, there has been a terrible famine, and the church in Jerusalem is almost literally starving. And so Paul decides he's going to collect money from all these Gentiles and send it back to the Jewish Christians, the circumcised Christians back in Jerusalem. Now you can imagine, maybe that shifted things a little bit for the Jerusalem Christians. All of a sudden these Gentiles maybe didn't seem so bad when money started to flow from these communities. But St. Paul is making the argument that we are in this together, he says. Gentiles and Jews who are part of this new family that is the church, we are in this together. We need to see ourselves as part of one family and community, and that's why we need to support each other when times are hard. Our abundance needs to support their weakness, and then there'll be a time when it's turned around and their abundance can support our weakness. I see this idea of connectedness also in Jesus' healing stories in our gospel today. Jesus is violating a couple of norms here. I don't know if you caught that because, you know, we live in a different culture than the first century, but for a Jewish male of Jesus' time, there were two things you were never, ever, ever supposed to touch. You were not supposed to touch a woman who was bleeding or menstruating because it made you ritually unclean. In fact, the woman herself was ritually unclean while this bleeding was going on. So she herself, think about this poor woman, 12 long years, she has essentially been socially and spiritually dead, unable to participate in her community because of this affliction. She knows that Jesus is coming. This is maybe her last chance. I love this idea that she has been to every doctor. I don't know if you ever had a really difficult illness where you just went almost bankrupt going to every doctor you could think about. I mean, it's not a modern thing. She was going through that. She had exhausted herself and her resources, and so she no longer cared about violating these norms, about crossing over this boundary. She is desperate and grabs hold of Jesus' cloak and is healed. And Jesus turns around. Who was it? And you can imagine how she's feeling. She comes up to him and she tells him the whole truth. And he looks at her and doesn't say, "You unclean woman, get away from me," which would have been expected, normal, and usual. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Daughter, in that one word, he says, "You are part of my family. You are acceptable. You are worthy. And your faith has made you well." Wow. I imagine that the healing she experienced was not only the physical healing, but being restored to her community, and even more so now to be made part of this new community that Jesus is creating, a community that is open and inclusive and welcoming and about God's abundance and grace. That's transforming. Then Jesus goes and violates another taboo. The leader of the synagogue, remember the synagogue and Jesus were not exactly on great terms. Jesus is a rabble-rousing preacher who is threatening the leaders of the synagogues of his day. He was the enemy for a lot of these synagogues. He was undermining their authority. Jairus is the most important man in his town. But something has happened. His little daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, is ill to the point of death. And you know how that changes your perspective. Suddenly, he doesn't care about his position. He doesn't care about his authority. He doesn't care about any of that. What he cares about is he would do anything to save his daughter. And so he humbles himself, chases down Jesus, this rabble-rousing prophet, and begs him, humiliates himself, and begs Jesus for healing. And Jesus doesn't get there right away because he's dealing with the woman with the hemorrhage. So by the time Jesus gets there, his daughter is already dead. It is forbidden for a Jew to touch a dead body. And yet Jesus crosses that boundary also, touches the girl and heals her and tells Jairus, "Your faith has made her well. He says to the girl, Talitha kum, which in a way is exactly what he had said to the woman with the hemorrhage. Daughter, little girl, get up. You too are part of my family. To me, these scriptures point us to a reality which may be an antidote to some of the bitter divisiveness that we experience today in our secular culture. They remind us that we are all made in the image of the same God. As the Book of Wisdom says, in the image of eternity. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we're made in the image of eternity, reflecting the glory and the nature of God. Whether we are insiders or outsiders, whatever nation or race we come from, whatever our social standing, we are made in the image of God, and we are in this human journey together. There are many things that divide us. There are borders. There are languages. There are cultures. There are politics. There are attitudes. All of these things can divide us, and we can have healthy debates about all the current issues of the day. And I hope we will. I hope that we can find ways to even talk about politics together without trying to kill each other. I hope that we can renew our deep sense that we are in this together. Science tells us that not only, you know, scriptures tell us we're made in the image of God, we share this identity, but science tells us we're made of the very same DNA. There's actually almost nothing that separates us from other human beings. The physical features, skin color, all that, that's tiny, that's minuscule, that's almost not worth talking about when it comes to the sense of being made of the same stuff, all made of stardust, the same stuff that God has created this beautiful world out of. I think our call, in the midst of all our divisions and disagreements and arguments, is to be committed as Christians to the fundamental truth that God has made us part of God's own family by making us out of the same stuff, by calling us into a relationship with Jesus, his son, by naming us as daughter and son, and saying that we are acceptable and that all we need is to have faith. And I want to say something about faith, too, because if you look at this gospel story, it's not that they reasoned their way, Jairus and this woman with the hemorrhage, and said, you know, I've read a lot of different religious stuff, and on balance, I kind of like this Christian idea because I have come to a rational understanding. No. Their faith is based in their desperation. They need God. They know that they can no longer make it on their own, and they are desperate for a word of healing and acceptance and love. And I want to say, I think that's the root of faith for us too. We can have all kinds of religious debates too, but until we know our dependence, our ultimate dependence on God, we will not have the kind of faith that leads us into this relationship with God in Christ. That faith unites us to every human being who has ever known want or hunger or loneliness or emptiness. It unites us with every human being in this world. When we feel that sense of connectedness, we know that we are all in this together, called by God to create some kind of new community of love and acceptance and abundance. May we start that right here and now with one another.